Richland Center.
We appreciate everyone here tonight for their support of this organization. On Wednesday night, during our Captain's Survivor Night, I had the chance to talk with Dr. Kenny, who is the Director of Cancer Research at Gunderson Medical in La Crosse. That organization is one that benefits from Grace's donations for cancer research. He told me that they are always amazed in La Crosse by this giving community and how unique Grace is and how unique Richland Center and surrounding area is. Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination represents the area. Hardworking people that step forward when there is a need. 21 years after the first Walk with Grace, we are here because of the strong support from the Richland Center area. And how about this weather? Huh? Awesome. Couldn't ask for it. This might be one of the best ones ever. We are pleased to open up the ceremony, and we are pleased to have the backing from Richland Center City Government. I'd like to introduce you to Mayor Todd Coppernall.
Thank you, Phil. Good evening, everyone. What a wonderful organization Grace continues to be. I'm amazed by it every year. Every year when I see the guitars around town and I see the response, all the auctions and all the different events to raise money, and every year they seem to raise more than the last. It's just an amazing thing for such a small community, and I hope everyone here is as proud of Grace as I am. Cancer may not care who any of us are, but Grace certainly does. If you need them, they'll be there. They've helped my family in the past, something we'll never forget. I just wanted to come out here tonight and thank all of you for your participation and urge all of you that are experiencing cancer to keep up the good fight. We've been there in my family. Every family will be sooner or later, I'm sorry to tell you. But when the time comes, Grace is right here, and that would not be possible without all of you. Thank you again for everything you do. City government supports Grace 100%.
Thank you. Yeah. Always great to have the mayor here. Thank you, Mayor Todd. Support from the county has made a difference over the years as well. I would like to introduce you to David Turk, Richland County Board Chairman.
Thank you, Phil. A cancer journey is different for everyone, from the one with the diagnosis to a friend or a loved one, family member. There are highs and lows and sometimes very, very lows. And we went through that with my mother-in-law, Donna Mulholland, when a sore on her face that wasn't healing right turned into a diagnosis of Merkel cell cancer, a very aggressive and potentially fast-spreading cancer. There was surgery, radiation treatments, then a clear scan and relief. But cancer wasn't done, and months later, there was swelling again and other health issues, and when Donna was hospitalized, they discovered the cancer had returned and spread. It took away her ability to walk, and not soon after that, it took her life. It'll be 2 years ago in October. When facing what can be the scariest situation of your life, you learn to be grateful for those who take the time to show they care. And my wife and her family were touched by so many who took time to visit, call, write, email, help out in any way they could, all through Donna's journey to show that they cared. And tonight I see a gathering of people who all care, and I'm so proud to be a part of a community that comes together like this to make a difference for people at a time in their life when they may need it the most. Thank you for your time, thank you for your financial support of Grace, and thank you for standing up and letting everybody know that Richland County cares.
Thank you, David. She has done a great job during her first year of leadership after taking over for Rob Renish following last year's event. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Grace Board, Eileen Stevens.
Thank you, Phil. And Phil, we want to thank you and all of WRCO, as you guys certainly have been the cornerstone of Grace all these years. We could not do this, we could not be this successful without you at WRCO and the auction. You promised us great weather. You delivered once again. So thank you to WRCO for your support. Also, we want to thank the City Parks and Rec for the use of Crosscut Park, the Community Center, and the Meyer Building. Again, we could not have the successful event without their support. All of you here tonight, we thank you for your ongoing support and unwavering dedication to the Grace organization. But that makes perfect sense because the people that live in the 16 townships within Richland County and the 21 townships of Vernon, Sauk, Iowa, Crawford, and Grant counties that touch our borders, that are all part of what makes the Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. And all of you are here to, you're caring and always willing to give a hand up to those in need of support. Whether it's giving a gas card to help them with the mileage back and forth when they have to run to Madison or up to La Crosse every day, that's very costly to them. And by helping your neighbors, family, and friends in their cancer journey, it is very much appreciated. I want to introduce our board of directors. Many of you know most of them. So we have Marge Biscoe, Joanne Kulatz, Joanne Amel, Sherry Scott, Alan Kashubsky, Rod Reitz, and Leif Carlson. So these individuals have stepped up to keep this organization moving forward. The organization was started, of course, with an idea built up on a solid foundation, and we hope to continue to keep that structure strong. The board gives you the structure, the volunteers of the events and the participants is what makes everything possible to continue in a strong way. So many of you have given generously to our 2024 radio auction, tonight's silent auction, the bucket raffle. Be sure you go in and check all that out, and we thank you for your generous donations. All the fundraising, again, it's for all of the community in our Richland, Greater Richland County area. So thank you again to everybody. We sincerely appreciate your support and taking the time to come out today to be with us for this very important event. And in the words of Ron Fruit, when the bad news is cancer, the good news is grace. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Nice job, Eileen, this year. Next up, she has been a volunteer and board member during the 21 years of grace. She is a cancer survivor since 2006, and another year as chairperson of The Walk. My wife, June Nee.
Thank you, Phil. First of all, I want to start out by acknowledging all of my committee chairs and those that help them. I couldn't do any of this without them. I have an amazing group of people that come back and help me every year. I'll start with recruitment. This year, Alan Kazubski and Suzanne Fish stepped in to help recruit teams. Registration, Marsha Burkhammer. Luminary, Linda Kleppe and Chris Powell. Calendar raffle, Joanne Kulatz and Rod Reitz. Logistics, Eric Renish, Keith Bailey. Survivorship, Joanne Amel and Rose Burkholz. Entertainment, Phil Nee. Auction, Ken Thee, Leif Carlson, Kent Adsett, Phil Nee, and Eileen Stevens. My food chair, Jen Carter. Kids Corner, the Richland Hospital and Clinics team. Publicity, Alan Kazubski and Nettie Collins. And Sarah Renish for taking all of our pictures. I just want to say again, thank you to all my committee chairs and all of those people who help them in any way, whether it's at kickoff or Captain Survivor's reception night. We appreciate you all so much. And so many others who help in many, many ways, whether it's at the walk or on Captain's night or kickoff. This walk would not be possible without you all giving generously of all your time. Now I would like to introduce our 2024 ambassadors. Tara Weitzel, Marge Benson, and Jackie DeAger. I want to thank you ladies for sharing your stories, for giving of your time to be our ambassadors this year. It was an honor to have you. And thank you to the Grace Board for all of your help, support, and encouragement. It means a lot to me. And I want to thank my unofficial co-walk chair and husband, Phil, because he is always there to listen to my ideas and to encourage me and to make some contacts for me. And finally, thank you to this community, the businesses and individuals for always supporting Grace and our mission to serve the cancer patients in our communities. Your generosity never ceases to amaze me. And I hope you all enjoy this beautiful evening.
Thank you, June. Another tradition to opening ceremonies for Grace is prayer. We now take a moment for reflection with the pastor of the Blue River and Avoca United Methodist Churches, Chris Simonson.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to remember and to celebrate this evening as a community. Send your Holy Spirit to envelop those who continue their journey of grief for those who have passed, to rejoice with those who continue to walk the path of recovery and survival, and to celebrate with those that have and will continue to support the cause of cancer elimination. Father, bless us this evening as we come to the end of our efforts for this year and continue to inspire everyone who has worked diligently for the support of those friends and families in their greatest time of need. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. It is also important to take time out to honor America prior to the opening lap. It's our tradition here at Grace. And here, bringing the colors, the Richland County Veterans Organization, representing veterans from all around the Grace service area. They are here to present the flag of the United States of America and the flags of their individual organizations in the state of Wisconsin. Please stand if you're able. Gentlemen, remove your hats. Representing another group that has supported Grace through 21 years, from the Richland Center Police Department, Officer Elizabeth Deidelhoff will now perform the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled
It is now time for our opening lap. The veterans group will lead the way, followed by this year's ambassadors, Marge Benson, Jackie DeJager, and Tara Weitzel.
Left, right to the right, everywhere left. Left, walk.
We invite all survivors, past ambassadors, caregivers, and family members to follow us as we officially begin the 2024 Walk with Grace. This concludes our opening ceremony. We invite you to stick around with us through the night here as we walk with grace.
No need to travel for exceptional care. At Gunderson Boscobel, we collaborate with other providers and healthcare systems to deliver safe, effective treatment plans close to home. Whether you need specialized IV medications such as chemotherapy or antibiotic therapy, port or PICC maintenance, or blood product transfusions, we make it easier to get the personalized care you need. Gunderson Boscobel, bringing love plus medicine and outpatient nursing services to you.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle riders, to the captains of boats. From your first job to the retiring couple ready to enjoy their golden years, important milestones and life's unexpected events, we choose to care for the people with the need, not just the risks and needs. Our goal is to take the confusion out of finding the right coverage. Stop by our office in Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The trees on your land are a valuable asset, and keeping them properly managed is a big responsibility. The staff at Meister Log & Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team will help you meet your timber's potential. A win-win for all, as landowners receive green for the logs and Mother Nature stays green as well. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber, 608-434-4413.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
The House on the Rock Resort in Roll Spring Green has immediate openings for hotel front desk positions. They're hiring for the second shift from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. and the first shift from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. These seasonal jobs run through December. Join the team and enjoy a rewarding experience in a beautiful setting. Apply now by calling 608-935-3639 extension 1201 or print an application at thehouseontherock.com. That's 608-935-3639 extension 1201. Start your new job at the House on the Rock Resort today. WRCO.
You're listening to special programming from WRCO. The 2024 Walk with Grace is going on at Richland Center's Kroska Park tonight. We take time now to remember our visits with our Grace ambassadors this year. You will hear from Tara Weitzel, Jackie DeJager, and Marge Benson. These interviews played earlier on WRCO Radio during our morning show get-together. I'm Phil Nee, and today it's our day to talk about Grace, as we do each month, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. But it's a really special show today, as we'll be spotlighting our ambassadors. Later on, we'll have an update on the upcoming walk and also the Survivors and Captains Night, which is coming up not too far down the road. Joining us live in the studio, though, first of all, is Tara Weitzel, who is one of the ambassadors. Good morning, Tara. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am wonderful today. Gotta be. Beautiful weather and a summer day, and it's Friday, too.
That is, and it's gorgeous right now.
Well, give us a little bit about your story and your background and your family, Tara.
So I am from Richland Center. I have lived here my whole life. I am married. I have 7 children, ranging from 23 to 13. My husband is local as well, so we have been around for quite a while.
Indeed. That's a nice family that you have there. It must get kind of noisy at your house once in a while.
You know what? It is very loud, and it's usually not clean. You know, like we have dishes and laundry. We have teenagers. Right now, 5 at our house, so we're very busy.
Yeah, I guess you are. So tell us a little bit about your cancer journey. When did it begin?
It was actually September of 2019. And for me, it was relatively fast. I was in for some regular doctor's appointments, and I happened to mention that I had what I thought was a persistent canker sore on my tongue. And my doctor was like, well, that's odd. You know, like, let's just kind of see what happened. And it got progressively larger, and it was a physician here in town, and she finally just kind of looked at me and she goes, I think that this is something serious. And she goes, you need to be checked out immediately. And she was able to put in a referral for the UW. However, if you've ever waited for a referral, they tend to take weeks to even months. And I went in for a follow-up appointment, and I just said, you know, like, these things are happening. And she goes, we can't wait any longer. And she was able to call and get me an immediate appointment. And I went in, and they did a biopsy of my tongue, and within 2 days, I went from thinking that I just had something odd to finding out that I had cancer. And it was very aggressive. In the span of 10 days, from when I was initially diagnosed with cancer to I had surgery in 10 days. And in that 10 days, my tumor on my tongue had doubled in size.
Is this a common thing?
No, actually, it's not. I was very happy with the UW, and my doctor actually was like, I have never seen anything like this before. And I actually was contacted by the Center of Disease Control and asked if they could have all of my records and any removals to study, because they're like, we've never seen this type of cancer before.
You talk about aggressive. My goodness. And had you had to wait any longer, the outcome wouldn't have been as good.
Actually, no, it would not. I ended up having a third of my tongue removed, and I had 29 lymph nodes removed out of my neck. Going into it, they were not sure if I would be able to speak afterwards. The consensus was if the cancer had progressed past the midline of my tongue, they were going to remove my entire tongue, which obviously would mean that I would be mute. At that point, I had 5 children at home, and my children were young. My youngest was about 7, and I had to sit my kids down and be like, I'm very sick. I'm going to go in and have surgery, and I don't know if, like, we're going to be able to talk again. My oldest daughter had just enlisted in the Air Force, and it was basic training. She could not come home. We were granted special privileges to be able to call her so that we could tell her. However, you know, going into surgery, we weren't sure if I would be able to talk when I came out. So I actually called all of my family, and I left voicemails of saying, hi, this is Mom, I love you, so that if I couldn't talk again, they could hear them.
My goodness. I can't imagine that. And of course, in my business, that would really be serious, but, you know.
Well, in reality, I'm a teacher. Yeah. I went in not knowing if I would be able to work again. You know, you cannot be a mute teacher. And so when I woke up, I kind of was right, like, do I have a tongue? Like, I didn't know. And my husband was like, yes, you have part of your tongue left. Because in reality, I didn't know.
So when you realized that, then was it difficult to speak? Did you have to kind of learn to say different words, again and things
like
that?
I did. And actually, people that meet me now wouldn't know that I've gone through all of that. However, like my family that has heard me talk before versus after, I speak differently now. However, people that just meet me now don't notice anything. I had a lisp for a very long time, and I had to relearn how to use what was left of my tongue to enunciate correctly. However, like for a preschool teacher and early ed, when you're teaching children letters and sounds, you have to be able to pronounce them correctly. So it was quite a bit of time before I felt confident enough to go back to teaching, because if I couldn't pronounce them correctly, I cannot teach phonetics.
Did you have to see a speech specialist then?
I did. I saw a speech pathologist, and as bizarre as this sounds, I saw a PT person that had to help me learn how to re-eat. Because I lost so much of my tongue, the movement is different. So I had to basically start all over. The other thing that was extremely bizarre is they took all of the saliva glands on one side. So anybody that knows me, I carry a drink everywhere, because once I talk for so long, I have to have a drink or I can't talk anymore. So like I have bottles of water next to my bed, at my desk. I have one at my teaching station, so I can just have one wherever I am.
It's good to stay hydrated, but for you, is the matter of your mouth getting dry then?
It is. And then once it gets that dry, you know, like when you wake up and your mouth is almost like it's glued shut.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, if I don't continue drinking, it's like that all the time.
So how long did it take you to get back to work and get back to teaching then?
Actually, longer than I had expected. Once they did the surgery, they thought that they were able to get it all through surgery. So I went in at 8 weeks. At that point, I was cleared to drive. My husband had returned back to work, and he was actually traveling at the time. So he was out of the state, and I went for what was supposed to be a very quick in and out checkup. Your surgery looks great. You're cleared to go about your way. And I got there and received the news that they were not able to get all of the cancer by surgery. And they just kind of sat me down and they're like, we need to go on to the next step. And I'm like, okay, so what would that be? And they're like, 35 rounds of radiation.
Oh, no.
And they're like, they obviously knew that I was there alone. And they're like, do you need to wait and discuss it with your husband and then call back to set up a plan? I mean, like anybody that's met my husband would be like, no. And I just looked at him. I said, no, I'm like, you need to do what you need to do. And I'm like, so just tell me what to do. And so I did 7 weeks of daily radiation that took me through the entire end of 2019.
So how did COVID affect it then?
Actually, for me, at that point, everybody was having a snit about wearing a mask. For me, because I was going through radiation and cancer, I was already wearing a mask. So I was fairly safe and I couldn't go anywhere. You know, like it wasn't like I was out in the public. I went to the hospital and I went home. So Monday through Friday, I have friends that love me. I have family that came. Somebody drove me back and forth to Madison 35 times. At that point, I was medicated to the point that I couldn't drive. So people, family members, community members, they would come and pick me up, drive me to the Carbone Clinic, make sure I got in, sit there and read a magazine until I got out, and then drive me back home. My last treatment was right before Christmas of 2019. Honestly, out of this whole thing, what is so ridiculous to me now, one of the things that I was so terribly afraid of was losing my hair. When I was a kid, I met a bald person and it scared me. So like, I was like, I am not going to be one of those people who lost my hair. And lo and behold, let me tell you, 35 rounds of radiation, your hair is going to fall out.
That'll do it.
I had hair up on the top of my head. However, everything from about where your glasses would sit, from the sides and the back down, fell out. I, however, was kind of in denial. I didn't look at the back of my head. I know, as ridiculous as that sounds. And finally, it got to the point where I had two preteen daughters, and they're like, oh, like, Mom, your hair is falling out. I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, no, really, your hair is falling out. And I would just kind of put it up in a ponytail and not look. And finally, I decided, okay, how bad can it be? And I turned around and I looked at the back of my head. And I remember clear as day, the whole back of my head was bald. And I had been living in denial, like I hadn't looked at it. And then I was like, this is ridiculous. I look like a crazy person. And my best friend owns a hair salon. I called her and I said, look, I cannot walk around like this. I am like, please help me. And she goes, all right. She goes, come over tonight after work. And my husband drove me over after work, God bless him, and waited for me because I couldn't drive back home. And I didn't want to look like I was sick. I wanted to look like I had made a choice. And so we cried a little bit. She shaved off the little bit that hadn't fallen out yet. And we cut it in a style so that it looked like I had done it on purpose. Like if you've ever seen those shaved undercuts where the top is long and at least, oh, and I dyed it hot pink. I am like, I wanted to look like I had made a fashion choice. And then as my hair grew in, it actually came in white. And I was like, this is so bizarre. So I would go in and we shaved designs in the white when it grew back. So I had a lotus flower. I had some designs so that as it was growing in, I felt like I looked like a regular person. Honestly, that was one of the things that to this day, I am so thankful that I did, because it made me feel better in what was the worst time of my life.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little humor.
It did.
Right?
And you know what? Like my hair was like magenta pink and I had like a lotus flower on the back. And in all reality, it looked really good. I would never have done it on purpose. However, like it was really fun and it made me cheerful in what was a really awful part of life. You know, they say that a haircut can fix a lot of things. You know, they're not wrong.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're living proof of that. What does it mean to be an ambassador for Grace?
So right now, obviously, one of the things is to get other people involved, to get people to support Grace's efforts. You know, they provide help in what is the worst time of your life. Like for me personally, they provided gas cards for people that needed to drive me back and forth. We were brought meals. One of our close family friends arranged a benefit for us to help us fundraise. It's very expensive, especially like we went from a dual income household to a single income in less than 10 days. And we had five children at home. We had five students. We needed, like, September, very expensive time of year. You need school supplies. Your kids need to be taken to and from school. We had people that would come and pick up our kids and bring them back home. You know, like, their life was already so disrupted as it is that Grace helped keep as much normal as possible. They got picked up and taken to school. They got brought back home. We had people that would support them at their sporting events because I could not go. So for me, part of the reason I decided to be an ambassador was because I know how much that helped our family. And I want people that are like, oh my gosh, this has just happened to me. Where do I go? Like, there are resources here. There are people who will step up and help you. And I want people that are like, what can I do to help? Like, Grace always uses funds. They distribute those to families who are desperate at that point in their life. They need somebody that can be like, okay, I will make this easier for you.
Your type of cancer is unique. You know, a lot of times we'll talk about this and that, early detection, but certainly in your case, how long did you put off? You thought you had this cancer, so how long did you put that off?
It was probably about 2 months.
Okay.
And had I not been in the doctor being seen for something else and just have mentioned it offhand, it was not to the point where I would have made an appointment to get it looked at. Like, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I was already there. I was like, hey, by the way, this is kind of odd. However, it wasn't bad enough that I would have made an appointment to get it looked at.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So life is good. Now, what's your idea of a great day these days, Tara?
Well, I have a large extended family. My daughter that I mentioned that was in the Air Force has just recently gotten engaged. So we're in very early wedding stages plan. I just had the birth of my second granddaughter. Right now, I am soaking up all of the time with my family. That wasn't guaranteed at that point.
Makes you more grateful sometimes,
doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for stepping up and being an ambassador, Tara.
Thank you so much for having me. I was happy to share and hopefully bring some attention and resources to Grace.
Absolutely. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And you're back to school, what, in a month and a half, something like that?
Well, we're in the middle of our summer program right now. But then we are going to be back to school in September.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, too.
Thank you.
Tara Weitzel joining us in this first part of the morning show. On our morning show today from WRCO, we are talking to the Grace Ambassadors, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, and stepping forward to agree to be an ambassador this year, Jackie DeJager. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
So good to have you on today.
It's great to be here.
Give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I was 19 when I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was going to college, going to work, and we just thought I was tired, but a little more going on.
Oh, man. So 19, yeah. And then you got that taken care of then
yes.
at that time?
Yes, I did. I was told the possibility of having children would be more difficult, but I have three sons that are all healthy and happy.
you beat the odds then, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
So then kind of take us through the rest of your cancer journey.
Well, I had 6 months of chemotherapy. It was aggressive treatments, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I stayed working, stayed going to college. I was going for cosmetology and aesthetics. And I graduated with honors.
Awesome.
At the end of it. So.
And now you grew up originally in this area.
Yes, mm-hmm. My whole life. Mm-hmm. My dad, Jack Shear, I was living with him and my mom, Sue Shear, when I went to college and going through my treatments. They were phenomenal.
I remember when you used to win trivia from us once in a while back.
Yes. I still love Saturday nights.
Thank you.
On WRCO.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems like only yesterday that you'd win once in a while.
Yeah.
So. Good deal. So then your family's all doing well and everything?
We're hanging in there.
Uh-huh.
Yep. weather's been great, and we're getting through our health issues as best as we can.
There's always some hurdles, it seems, as you jump through the hoops and things like that. Are you currently on a cancer journey then, right now?
No. Because it was Hodgkin's lymphoma, it is considered curable. So after 5 years of being in remission and doing my CT scans, now all I need to make sure I don't get the Hodgkin's back is a blood test once a year.
Okay.
But while I was going through the 5 years, there was no insurance for me or anything, so all of that was out of pocket for the CT scans. And I wish Walk with Grace would have been there when I was going through my journey.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
What a relief it is for families now.
It is. Kind
of, and I think that's why you've kind of stepped forward to kind of tell your story. Then.
It is a wonderful organization. It helps so many that are on this journey, and it's not cheap. Travel, insurance, everything's costing more, and everything helps.
Yes, it does. So do you know any of the other ambassadors, or have you known ambassadors through the years, Jackie?
I have, yes. One that is currently Tara. I work with her at Schmidtwin Hills. She does the play school there.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So you've got two people that work there that are ambassadors this year.
Yes.
Did not realize that. That's awesome. So in terms of your journey and that kind of thing, then you're just kind of looking forward and counting your blessings. Then.
Yes, I am. It's been 23 years this October 12th since my last treatment.
My goodness. So you've got the butterfly, or you will have on Friday night that says 23 on it.
Yes, I will.
So that's awesome. At 19, you must have been, you know, scared and confused as anybody would, but it's certainly at that age.
Very scared. When I first got the diagnosis, it was shock. But I had a wonderful oncologist, Dr. Thomas McFarland. And he said, just keep a normal schedule as possible. You know, don't stop to think. Just do.
Isn't it, a lot of times it's a positive attitude that gets you through, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And my sister Grace Shear, she's been a big supporter of me too, on getting me to appointments and taking care of my kids while I journey through more appointments.
Mm-hmm. So you still have to go through those from time to time. Then.
Oh, yes. Yep. Blood tests. They're doing more biopsy now to check for other issues I've been having. But
okay. But the cancer is in the rearview mirror.
Yes, it is.
I can't imagine, again, at 19, your whole life's ahead of you, and then you really took a downturn.
Like I said, it was shocking to hear at first, but I worked through it, and I did the best I could.
And great support from the family.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They have been absolutely amazing. My dad, of course, has passed away since, but no, he wouldn't even show up to my high school graduation, but my college graduation, after everything he showed up to, and he was just very proud of everything we accomplished together.
Yeah, you really had to overcome a lot to get through that then.
Yes,
didn't you?
Yes.
Right. So this, as you look at Grace and things like that, what's it going to feel like to be there and you know, take that first lap and everything?
Just the pride of everyone being together, fighting it together, and not giving up.
Yeah, really, the nice thing about a small town is, you know, everybody kind of, you know, they feel for you. They're very supportive, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. I've had plenty of bosses and employers that were also very supportive of when I was going through my treatments. I was working at Bernstead's Pick and Save.
The good old days.
Yes. They were very understanding of all my appointments and accommodating mm-hmm. for my needs at work.
Very important. And your current employer is, again?
Schmidtwin Hills.
Schmidtwin Hills, okay.
Yes.
You work there. Nice place to work, I'm guessing.
Oh, great place to work. I am housekeeping. I do laundry 8 days a month right now until I can get back up to hopefully full time. But I love what I do, and the people I work with are amazing.
When you kind of kicked your cancer, so to speak, did you feel that energy come back where you felt a little bit stronger every day then and everything?
Yes, I did. As the treatments went on, I just started to feel overall better. I wasn't always sleeping. I could eat again. The treatments themselves could be a little rough at times, but again, the more I went to them, the better I started feeling.
So, in other words, you must have caught it early then as well?
Well, I was advanced stage 3 out of 4 stages.
Okay.
So, it had started attacking specifically my spleen, which there is still scarring on. But we caught it in time before it hit my bone marrow.
So, that was certainly key. Do you have advice for somebody that might be going through that kind of thing?
Keep a positive attitude. That's all you can really do with it. Don't let it get you down. You know, your hair falls out. I was in school for cosmetology, and we wanted to play a prank on the first years that were coming into our second year by running out and look what they did to me when I was bald. And my cousin Jason gave me the moniker Fester.
Uncle Fester.
Yes. So I actually did wind up going to the Halloween contest that year. I had just went into remission, and I was Uncle Fester.
Wow.
For Halloween.
You got to laugh sometimes at things,
yes,
don't you?
And, yes.
Yeah.
It's easier than crying through it.
Yes, it is.
So, not to say you're not going to cry, because
it's difficult.
Both. Yeah. But make sure to laugh, too.
So did you actually pull the prank then when people really believed you that somebody...
No, the instructor said not to do that them. So
you don't want to give them a heart attack or anything.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. So do you have a team this year for Grace?
I know I don't. I believe my Uncle Bob does, the American Red Cross.
Okay.
That he is in charge of here in Richland Center. He does a beautiful job with my Aunt Heidi. But for me, with other things going on, I was not able to join a team, but am very happy to be an ambassador this year.
Uncle Bob nominated you, I think, right?
Yes, he did.
Great. Well, it's awesome to have you. Anything else that you'd like to add today in terms of this upcoming ambassador appearance for you?
No, I'm just very, very excited to go and see everyone again.
Great. Well, it'll be nice to see you. That's on August 9th, and the opening ceremony is at 6 o'clock, and Jackie DeJager will be there, along with Marge Benson and Tara Weitzel. There will be our main three ambassadors this year, and they'll be leading that first lap. So, Jackie, thanks so much for coming in and joining us today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you, Phil.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Phil Nee, joined by Marge Benson, who is one of the Grace Ambassadors, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, representing this year. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, Marge.
You're welcome.
Good to have you in the studio with us. And tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in Elmhurst, Illinois, April 26, 1954, but I'm more of a Wisconsinite than Illinois because I've been up here since I was 14 years old.
So a Wisconsinite, have you lived in southwest Wisconsin then during that time for most
yep.
of it? And a Richland Center area resident, or where do you live?
Richland County now, but we lived in Livingston where I went to high school at Iowa Grant. The best.
Iowa Grant, well, they're certainly in our listening area as well. As far as your cancer journey, kind of fill us in a little bit on, first of all, what type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
Breast cancer. Around the first part of August in 2022.
And then you...
had the surgery September 15th, 2022, and I never had no pain whatsoever.
cancer-free since that time for the last...
Yep.
How long again?
It'd be 2 years in September.
Wow. Good for you.
Well, it'd be my second mammogram, so we'll see.
Well, things continue to go well then.
Oh, yeah.
So in terms of encouraging other people to get checked, that's probably the biggest thing is early detection, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mine, when they done the early detection, probably maybe the size of your pinky, if that. And you couldn't feel it when you do the self-exam.
Okay.
That's how small it was.
So you discovered it with a mammogram then?
Yep.
In other words. So you're here to say that those are pretty important.
Oh, yeah. And I have two sisters that had cancer, too.
So you do have a family history of it, then.
My mom died 12 years ago in September of pancreatic cancer. Then I think it was April after mom died, my sister Valerie Muller was diagnosed with breast cancer. But she's fine. To look at her, you can't tell she has it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now my sister Debbie's dealing with pancreatic cancer. But supposedly, knock on wood, they got it all. But we'll see.
Boy, some families are more hard hit than others. Your family is sure taken a blow from this, haven't they?
Yep.
Wow. So, but it makes you fight stronger. I know you were fighting for your sisters, you know, because at least one of them was an ambassador before, right?
Yeah, Valerie was.
Valerie was, right.
Well, they don't.
So you're going to get some family members out to support you then when you're out there at
we'll
Grace.
See.
Great. Well.
Well, Debbie, when she had her benefit, they sold out of everything.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that wasn't that long ago.
No.
I guess. So, well, we wish her the best as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, Marge, talk a little bit about Grace and what it means to you.
I don't know what I'd have done if it wasn't for them.
You know, it's a similar story for a lot of folks. They've helped a lot of people and taken away a lot of the worries and everything.
And I don't even remember how I found out about it. Could have been from my friend Robin.
Okay. It means a lot to a lot of people, you know, with gas cards and those kind of things.
And they helped me with my rent. Gave me gas cards and cards to get groceries with. It helped me a lot.
A lifesaver, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
From that point on, you probably vowed that you're going to give back to Grace if you can then, too, aren't you?
Yep.
What does it mean to be an ambassador?
I was shocked. Joanne nominated me. And I'll probably cross your fingers... raised $1,270 this year by selling calendars.
Oh, okay. Is there a significance to that number?
I wanted to beat my record from last year.
Oh, okay.
Which was 120. Yep.
That's really good. So you're selling the calendar raffle tickets then?
Yep. And remember when the pandemic was on?
Right.
I raised $820 then.
That was pretty impressive.
Yep.
Yeah. At that point... you didn't probably think that you'd ever need to use Grace.
Probably.
That was before.
I didn't even think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess one never knows when you might be the one affected.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Is there a secret to selling that many tickets?
I keep my list from year to year.
You remember who you've called upon and who you've not?
Oh, yeah, I've got some family. Most of them are friends. The farthest one, though... is to Arizona, and that's to my sister Beth.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So she bought one too then?
She got two.
All right. Well, that's awesome. So as we're airing this too, if people would like to buy a ticket, they can come see you, correct?
They might all be gone.
Oh, well, you never know.
Yeah, well.
We can find them some more, I bet.
Oh, yeah, we could.
So you're a Packers fan? I see you've got a Packers shirt on. All right.
Do I even dare mention my baseball team?
Well, you can if you want.
Chicago Cubs.
I was going to say, born in Illinois, so that never left you, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I don't like the Bears and I don't like the Bulls.
Just the Cubs.
Cubs and the Blackhawks.
Okay. Cubs and Packers, we'll let you off, you know.
Yeah.
50% right.
you guys would be lost if I wouldn't call you once in a while.
Yeah, you do. You've been one of our big supporters over the years. So we appreciate that. Do you know any of the other ambassadors?
No, I met Tara, but I don't know none of them.
Yeah, Tara is going to be one. In fact, you were in the Lone Rock Parade riding
yeah,
with us.
We were talking in the backseat.
So what's it going to be like at Grace when you do the lap? And have you thought about that?
And how I just hope and pray it's not really hot out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll hope for good weather.
I hope so.
That's for sure. So, you've been there for other folks
yeah,
over
I've been
the years.
There. Uh-huh. I've come with Babe Kraska. I'm on her team.
So this year it's going to be just a little bit different than you'll be out there leading that first lap and everything.
Yep.
So, and the fundraising, it's just amazing what this community does, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. We'd be lost if we didn't have it.
Unfortunately, there's a need. That's for
sure. Oh yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say about your cancer journey or anything in, concerning Grace, Marge?
Not that I can think of, but watch me think of something after.
As you drive away.
No.
Certainly your family's been affected. You've been affected.
Yep.
But you continue to fight on.
Well, then I also lost my boyfriend 7 years ago, too, of throat cancer.
You did?
Yep.
Wow.
Actually, my dad in March, well, he didn't have cancer. 2 weeks after that, my boyfriend died of throat cancer.
You've been hard hit with some tough times.
Oh, yeah. But the hardest death I had to deal with was April 1st. And that was one of my best friends from my class in high school. And actually, Phil, I seen it on, and it was posted April 1st. And I had to look, because I almost thought it was an April Fool's joke. No, it was not.
Oh.
Yep. And his son lived out in Alaska. They kept him alive long enough for his son to fly home to say goodbye. And I mean, it hit me hard. I cried for a week.
When you look at what you've dealt with, I think having a positive attitude is certainly...
You gotta
find that, don't you?
Yep.
And look for the little things and live each day, right?
Definitely. And listen to you guys.
What did you do for an occupation during your working years?
Restaurant work. Well, my first actual job was work detasseling corn for Biddick's there in Livingston.
Okay.
And then I went to restaurant work.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
A lot of corn over in that area. So you had a lot of work to do there. So.
I'll never do it again.
But then restaurant work and then...
Yep. I used to work at Rumble Seats there in Spring Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, as a cook. And I loved it there. There was days on a Friday, I wished I could remember how many people were there. And the other person never showed up. And I was back there by myself and only one person left.
Kept you busy.
Oh, yeah, hopping. But it was fun work, though.
In the 4th of July Lone Rock Parade, there were a lot of people that knew you as you rode through.
Oh, yeah.
So you had a lot of fans.
Yep.
And hopefully they'll show up for Grace coming up on the 9th. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on here, Marge. We wish you luck. And again, thank you so much for stepping forward and being an ambassador, because I know that's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Probably the hardest thing is talking on the radio with me.
No, it's not, because I told Joanne I'd love to. Piece of cake, I told her.
Well, maybe that's the easiest part of it then. So, great deal. Well, thank you for joining us here today.
Yep.
You're listening to special programming from WRCO.